All right, what's going on with this damn email?
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, west. We're west. Ashburn, Virginia.
Way west.
Commanders training camp. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what day it is.
It's Monday.
I know that. I mean, what day of camp is it?
Four, five? I don't know.
Yeah, me
either. I know it was a quick day. I know that.
It was definitely quick. First day in pads today for the boys.
That was an hour and about 15 minutes.
I almost had it an hour 10.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, they're calling them up? But you know what? I was talking with Jason, pass game coordinator defense.
Simmons.
And he was like, he said, man, people don't understand, Cliff never holds. So they're getting the exact same amount of plays because he just constantly goes.
Well, have you even noticed how they do the QB wide receiver warm-ups? Like, a lot of teams in years past, sometimes you'll have all three guys drop back together. Sometimes you just have one dude, and it just goes like one dude, one receiver, and Cliff's got five dudes throwing.
And they got, yeah.
The four actual quarterbacks on the camp roster, and an equipment guy.
Yeah.
And they've got receivers going constantly. So it's like, I mean, there's a reason they led the NFL in up-tempo last year. Like,
they know what they're doing. Like I will tell you about Andy. How Andy has you in practice. They get ready for the game because they do a lot of stuff in a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so Andy gets them right, man.
A lot of veterans.
Well, Cliff gets them right, just like Andy does.
Sure. A lot of vets got the day off today. I wouldn't read a lot into that. The biggest story here was yesterday, and it was Terry McLaurin's arrival. He's holding in, not holding out. I think a number of things. I think on some human level, it was a little bit of chicken soup for Terry's soul. Just coming out, seeing the fans, being with his teammates. I do think there's an element of kind of PR, like let this thing unfold a little publicly with how much the fans love him, how much they want to see him. I don't know that they're much closer in contract conversations. Mm-hmm. And from people I've talked to, they're not. You wonder kind of which side will blink first. If the delta is as significant as we think it may be, like if there's a $10 million gap.
If it's a $10 million gap, then that's atrocious. If it's a $10 million gap, that's BS, straight up. Let's be real.
What do you think? Where do you think that you've been extremely chill about it, and Terry is now here, which is something you and I kind of thought might happen. Where do you think this thing is, or has your concern level, any of it, changed at all?
It still hasn't changed. I think what happens, as you watch things get closer, is when things begin to happen. And I think you saw a few things happening yesterday where when they were Terry, who was leading the chant with them?
Jaden.
Yeah. And all those things can begin to work because I believe that the people that are making decisions, they look at all that. I don't think anybody truly has animosity. I don't think Terry has animosity. I don't think they have animosity. I just think that they are trying to do this thing not in just a one-time thing. They're thinking about what has to come behind it.
Totally.
And I think just like a player, we say stuff about agents, but the agent's job is to get your guy as much as he can. And that player understands that this could be my last big one. So I got to at least fight for it. You know, he may have a number he's already willing to settle for, but you fight for a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
And I think for Adam Peters, he's trying to set the tone of how he's going to run his operation. And I think Buddy Baker, Terry's agent, who has been here, and, Terry walked back out on the field again today. I was really impressed yesterday. I think they made wherever the decision was made, whether it was just Terry on his own, Terry and the agent, maybe Terry talked with coaching staff, whatever, it was very important that he didn't walk out during practice yesterday because that would have distracted the actual football operation.
Yeah,
There's no way it wouldn't have.
Yeah, it would.
And I think they handled that well. I mean, he came out probably like 20 minutes after practice had ended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that allows him to see the fans, sign a bunch of autographs.
And people want that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
I just had people telling me what to say. I said, bro, I don't have any control over this stuff.
What you hope and what I think, but certainly what you hope, B, is that it doesn't become like an ego thing. Like, well, I won't budge because you won't budge. Something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know that it will. I don't believe that it will.
I think there's been a lot of good things happening at camp. And I still believe this is a better football team with 17 on it.
I think
we see a lot of things going on. And I think Jaden is on point. But I also know what 17 is capable of. And I'm not knocking people, but I'm saying ain't nobody on the roster like 17.
Totally. And dude, I think, one, you're completely correct. And I think for a few days, the offense has looked kind of stalled, and you wonder what 17 would do. But I will say today, Jaden was...
Oh, he's cooking.
He was... I mean, that's the best I've seen him so far.
The pass he threw yesterday to Jalen Lane.
Yeah.
That ball went over the tip of two defenders.
Three.
By about that much. But to be able to go up and catch it, now he didn't get both feet in.
Right.
But still, to make that catch, he put a toe down and was able to flip it to the heel and drag that thing. He just missed the right foot. Jalen Lane's a bad dude.
That play yesterday, the catch was incredible, but it wouldn't have been six. To me, the throw's even better. Jaden's rolling right on the move, and you talk about a drop in the bucket throw. I mean, that is exactly the only place it could go. You had two defenders right there and a safety in front of them. What was really funny is as they were leaving the field, B, I asked Lattimore and Mikey, I was like, was that a touchdown? They're like, hell nah. And then I saw Jalen. I was like, was that a touchdown? He's like, definitely.
Hey, we know defensive players and offensive players do not think alike. Look, 100%. The offensive players always being pass interference. And the defensive player, I have never touched him.
Right.
While he has his shirt in his damn hands.
Right.
I didn't interfere. And you got a piece of his jersey in your hand. Come on, dog.
I do think there were a bunch of veterans that got the day off today. That's just kind of normal. Von Miller got the day off. Ertz got the day off. Tunsil got the day off. Connerly was in his spot, which was interesting to see. Jaden made a couple of throws, man, that – So we're really not supposed to say much of what they're doing. But Lane had a nice kind of chunk play where I think he lined up on the outside and then ended up kind of just sitting soft in the zone. Ball was a little high. He went up and high-pointed it. Would have been a nice, I don't know, 20, 25-yard gain. Jaden had this throw to Ben Sinnott. Just an absolute bullet. And Sinnott made a nice play after the catch. The throw, though, was just a laser, B.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if it's pads were on today. You feel that pass rush a little bit more. And, like, the weather's gotten hot, and James is like, all right, today's my day. And just yeah. As much as this Terry McLaurin situation is lingering, like – you still have five.
Yeah.
And I've said it, like, part of the team's comfort level with slow playing this, one, Terry's under contract. And I don't think Terry's the type of dude who's going to hold out in season. So if this goes the wrong way and they don't get a deal done, he's under contract, right?
Yep.
They could tag him, all that stuff. I also think part of what lets the team be a little more comfortable, the offense is not the same without 17, period.
Yep.
But
you get other guys' experience, though.
I think with Jaden and Cliff, you can manufacture some offense. And another guy that's looked really good is Debo, dude.
Yeah.
For all the talk of Debo being overweight.
We know that was stupid talk. You knew what they were
doing. He said it.
They were implementing stuff at that moment. So you can say what you want. It's just that's stupidity. It was fans from San Fran that were pissed that he's no longer there. That happens a lot. You know, so you just move on past that.
I thought Debo just spoke, and I do think he's approaching this.
You just let him take your chair like that?
Yeah.
You didn't try to challenge him? No. Debo is built like a running back, dog. You look at him,
Debo,
all the receivers are sleek.
Yeah.
He is not – that dude is not built like no receiver. He's built like
his
a running back,
shoulders,
dog.
Dude, he is built like a running back. All right, so I'll tell everyone what happened. We have assigned seats in the media room. And a lot of times I'm on air, so I'm not in my chair all that often because Ben Standing sure likes to take it too. But I came into the podium because I really wanted to watch, to listen to Debo and just get a chance to hear from him and ask him a couple questions, whatever. And I walk in, and Debo's just in my chair. And
you didn't say, yo, dog, it's my chair. Come on, JP, man, drop a set.
You know what I said? Absolutely nothing.
Hey, Mr. Debo, you can have that chair.
Hey, do you need some water, sir? if it was a player I knew better, I might like kind of bust balls about it. But I don't know Debo that well yet, and
you gotta take a chance and figure it out, dog. You should have said, "Yo, dog, you're in my chair. What's up with that?" And if you walked in here with like an eye that's half closed, I don't know. You said something about your chair.
I think. Jeff's here somewhere. I wonder.
Yeah, Jeff sent you a question. There's a practice at 8 or 9. I say he'll be late.
I mean, what time did he send that?
Around 7:02.
7 a.m.
Which mean he will not be here at 8.
Right.
Maybe that should have come out like 6.
Yeah, or last
probably
night.
He was just walking in at the time. So, you know what I'm saying.
It's been fun because a lot of the radio boys are out here. Toby's been out here. Our guy Bennett was out here yesterday.
I didn't see him. Hell, I didn't see you yesterday.
I didn't see you once.
I was
yesterday.
Working, dog.
Yeah, you were working.
They
hard.
Had me working yesterday.
How was Vegas?
I did a thing with Vaughn, not Vaughn, Frankie yesterday, which was very, very good.
That's a heck of a mix up.
Nah.
Well, Vaughn and Frankie.
Well, I talked to him about Vaughn a lot. But Frankie is. Oh, no. This is where Frankie killed me at. I said, yo, man, I've been here. Since 1990, he said, damn. I say, damn, dog. He said, no, I'm just joking. No, I said, no, you're not. He said, "You." But we got off air. He said, 1990? Dude, I wasn't born. I know, bastard.
Frankie's just such a good dude. One thing I have noticed is, you know, throughout OTAs and minicamp, we kind of heard about more three linebacker sets and Jordan McGee getting more of a role.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all we've seen so far is Bobby and Frankie.
Yeah, I think I was very, very pleased to see the NFL top 10 linebackers. Bobby was 1 and Frankie was 10.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot. Now, I asked him, I say, how much have you learned from Bobby? He said, man, I learned so much about, you know, how the game comes easier. You know, we're talking about being young, being old. Like Von Miller is still at, what, 30, 35, 36?
Yeah.
I can wake up and brush past him.
I love that.
Because he understands how to set people up. And I'm thinking about Frankie. When Frankie's starting to hit his stride, how about these young guys? You know, that having those two guys as your sounding boards, per se.
Sure.
You know, the coach can preach and talk all day. Players probably won't get it because it's just a thing where – when your boss is telling you something, like your coach, your boss, you don't just accept it.
Right.
It's a natural thing that we kind of, you know, we avoid that at some point. But when another player that you know, that you were a fan of, you probably watch, is telling you how it's done, and you see this dude's still playing at this level, you immediately just accept what he says, no matter what the hell it is.
Totally. You know, the D-line situation.
Yeah, you ain't bringing nobody else, no readers, Jeff.
Jeff walking in with Italian ice.
Come on, Jeff, you got to go get another one of them.
One-way Joe right there. The D-line situation is really interesting because I thought Jalen Holmes was good for them late last year. I think Holmes has had a good camp. You think about Armstrong, Farrell are on the team. Obviously, Wise, I think Sheldon Day, Kinlaw, Johnny Newton, Deron Payne. Deron got a day off today. Now, they're able to use the practice squad way more efficiently now. Like, that's some of the best rule changes that COVID implemented. Big Carl Davis has been good for them. Like, that's going to be really interesting when they get to the finish line on what the 53 is on the defensive front. And you could just see.
I'm digging on you. You digging on me.
How much better? How much bigger? Anyway, I'm holding off on better until I see it in person. But
they're bigger.
They're definitely bigger, and I think they'll be better. And I think they will be more suited to what DQ and Joe Witt want to run. Did get a couple little pops today, which was fun. Like they're in pads. Bill Merritt, not scared to lower the shoulder. Him Bill and Tyler Owens.
Bill Merritt. Is going to be a bad boy.
He can play.
The thing about him, He has vision out the yin yang. He has great balance. Dude can scoot. You know, I think we were talking about, I don't know what people were saying. This guy, he can run, dog. he's not slow.
Sure.
He might be quicker than he is fast, but I'm telling you, he's not slow.
He looks like he can really play. That running back room has some serious depth. A lot of really fun, interesting things to watch unfold over the next month here. Pretty awesome day yesterday with Santana Moss finding out he's going into the Ring of Fame. I want to ask you about that. Tana's going to join us at 11, I believe, which should be a ton of fun. Ben Stadig just launched his own Substack. He's out here every day stealing my chair. He's going to. If Debo's not in it, then Ben's in it. Somebody's always
in it. I think you could take Ben.
I think I could take Ben.
Yeah.
Too.
At noon, unless he has Debo as his support. So.
At noon, Stadig will join us. Got some player sound. You're going to hear from a couple different guys as the program rolls on. B, I did go to the tennis yesterday. If you're watching on the stream, you can see my dope lid.
I haven't gotten on yet. I don't know what's going on, man.
Well, we'll figure that out in the break. Thank you to our guy, Danny Frank. I think this lid is pretty dope, don't you?
Yeah, that's sweet.
I like it a lot.
I'm going to wear mine when you wear yours. When we play again, I'm going to beat you by 12 strokes.
In tennis? What's your tennis game like?
I think I could beat you.
I haven't played much tennis lately, but when you and I competed in racket sports, is my only victory over you.
Yeah, but you haven't come back. So that means that you're weird. Won't defend your championship.
I will play you. I'll play another game of ping pong, and I'll play you in tennis, and I'll definitely play you in paddle.
Paddle, what is that?
It's some bougie stuff.
I'll play you in racquetball.
I think you'll beat me up.
That's part of the game.
So, but we went to the tennis yesterday, and it was really cool. I wanted my girls to go see the women's final because I got young daughters. I want them to see women playing sports at the highest level, right? And, you know, my little one's a lefty. And when you're a little kid, being a lefty is just a little disorienting at times because most things are, like, righty-driven. And so the woman that won, Layla Fernandez.
Was left-handed?
She's left-handed. So Ainsley thought that was really neat. And, I mean, Layla was good, man. She was really
Ainsley,
good.
You're special, baby. Stick her like that. You're special.
So, at the end of the match, they do the trophy, and then they put these streamers out. Mark Ion gives a nice speech. And I don't think my girls, like, knew anybody's name. Everybody's cheering. And Shelby just stands up and shouts, "Let's go, tennis!" It was so fun, man. Really great event there at Rock Creek Tennis Center. They do a great job with it, man.
They do.
And it was funny. So I've been the last couple of years, and you can kind of party there. They got that tequila tent with a DJ and stuff. But it was cool to go with the family and see it through a different lens.
Kept you from that tequila tent.
It did. Until I got home. But it was a blast, man. So we got plenty to do here. Busy day here in Ashburn. First day with pads. I want to hear B. Mitch's version of telling Santana Moss he was going in the Ring of Fame. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Commanders fans, I know a lot of you all are listening right now. You told me you listen to the show every day, and so you're in your car. So it's B. Mitch here, and I'm ready to take the excitement global. Join me and True Fan Travel this November for the ultimate fan getaway as Washington takes over Spain. Complete with game tickets, all-inclusive tailgate parties, 5 nights at the Western Madrid Cusco, and curated local events across Madrid. Spots are limited, so head to truefantravel.com and lock in your seat. True Fan Travel, they handle everything and you make the memories. Be part of history for the first NFL game in Madrid. That's truefantravel.com. Hope to see you all in Spain.
L.A. in the city of good old Watts. Go to the Watts Towers if you're in Los Angeles. Pretty interesting. All right, Brian. Yesterday, because of the Terry mania, not that anything got, you know, nah. The Santana Moss thing. So I saw it first thing in the morning, I guess, when the team announced it via social media. That Tana was going into the Ring of Fame, Ring of Honor. Is it Ring of Fame or Honor? I always mix that up.
I think it's Ring of Fame. I don't know.
Okay, great. You're in it. You should know.
Ring of Fame.
Okay, there you have it. Tana absolutely deserves it, undoubtedly. And all right, Ring of Fame, officially. And I mean this, you know, on PFT's podcast, they kind of do this running bit where it's like, are you a better player or person? And most people that make it to be a pro athlete are probably better players than they are people, because you're in the 1% of the universe as an athlete. Whereas even if you're a good dude, you're probably only, you know, you got the Dalai Lama and stuff out there, right? Tana might be a better person than he was as a player. And I'm just so happy for him. And you got to tell him. And I'm curious if you could tell me your side of it when you found out, how you kept it a secret. And then kind of.
No, I keep secrets.
I know.
So, like, well, Ryan called me on Tuesday. And he said, so when we're doing the show, we're going to make this announcement. I said, what's the announcement? And he said, Tana's going in the Ring of Fame. I say, who announcing it? I said, because I could do that. He said, what would you say? And right off the top, I said, look, I'll talk to him about how the fact that we hang, and people always ask me, are Tana and I related? We're always hanging out, especially when we're on the road and stuff like that. And I say, I'll lead it into, well, we're going to be hanging for the rest of our lives, dog, because you're going up in the Fame.
Oh, that's cool.
And I said it just like that. And Santana's the type of dude where he is trying to figure out everything at all times. So when I start talking, now you can see his mind is working. Because there's some ESPN people right here. Is one of the commanders.
You guys are in the commanders.
In the, like, suite. So one of the commanders' right? Videographers was sitting right there, and the photographer was right there telling, like, he's telling me later, he said, man, I'm like, why are all these damn people in here? And as soon as I said it, Ryan had, like, Tanner didn't know, so he had been calling his boy Bub and Bo and his brother Lloyd.
Yeah.
And he had been calling all these dudes. They're sitting there together. But they're moving around to make sure they don't talk to him, because Tanner's so alert in the stuff that he'll listen to the background noise and figure out they're together. They were here. He didn't even know they were in town.
That's awesome.
So they all flew. They had flown them here to celebrate with him. And when Ryan had them all run on the set, and he got a little choked up, and he had some little tears in his eyes. So, you know, I was laughing. We were hanging out last night because Ryan basically took everybody to DC Prime. And I had some food and drink with him, and it was a lot of fun last night. But I was happy to hear, because Bo knew. So Bo was like, yo, man. So he kind of, like, threw a little hint at him, and now he never got it. He was like, yeah, man, that Ring of Fame, that tells him, man, you know, that'll happen whenever it happened. You know, and he was like, yeah, man, that'd be great if you were to go in that thing, bro. You know, that'd be something great, because, you know, you get a chance
That's
to see
funny.
This stuff.
Messing with him a
he
little
knew
bit.
The whole time. But Tanner didn't know. So, and he, like, last night, he was like, all you bastards do this. How y'all keep this from me?
I love it.
Everybody knew but him.
So, shout out to DC Prime. Me and the boys are going to be there at 4 o'clock. So, if you're listening, DC Prime, get ready.
I'm one of the boys?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, Tanner did a press conference with us after everything yesterday.
Yeah. And he said, man, I forgot about that. He said, hey, I was doing a press conference. I was kind of lost for a bit because I hadn't done it since I played.
So my two – he had a lot of great answers, and it was he's clearly, clearly touched by all of it. But I asked him, because I didn't know you did it live on the air.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah.
And I thought what the team has been doing, like the Art Monk video.
When they posted, that was after the fact.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They wanted it to happen.
Sure.
He would have – somebody would have called him and said
him.
Something.
Yeah. So, like, I thought they did such a great job with the Art Monk video, keeping that a surprise. And so I just asked Tana, I was like, Tana, how did you find out? What was the situation? Were you surprised? And he's like, man, it was your boy, B-Mitch. And, dude, so he had two answers yesterday that I thought were just phenomenal. And he said, he's like, yeah, you know, we're doing the show. Everything's cool. B-Mitch up there rambling. I'm not really sure what he's talking about. And then I realized, I think he just said I went in the Ring of Fame. Which was just so great. And then I don't remember who asked him this, but somebody asked, like, you know, what's it like to be able to share this moment with some of your former teammates and friends and family? And he's like, man, it's so special, but Fred wants me to hurry up out of here so we can go start drinking.
Fred's a fool. I think we were trying to leave out there by 10 something last night when the people closed. We walked out there around 11 something. The three of us still talking.
I think it was cool too. So yesterday was the first fan day, and it was they had a big kind of production. DQ talked to the crowd before practice, and then after, team president Mark Klaus talked to them, and then Fred got the mic. You know what? In another life, Fred was obviously a very good football player, but in another life, Fred would have been, you know, like wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
You know how some of them have a manager that's just like the hype man that just like occasionally.
What's the guy that does the boxing?
Don King?
No. The one that, if you say, let's get ready to roll.
Michael Buffer.
Fred should do stuff like that.
Michael Buffer.
But he talks. I don't think he knows half the things he says.
Right. So Fred gets the mic to introduce Tana. And I don't know how long Fred talked, but say it was 5 minutes. And it was loud, and it was Fred, and it was, you know what I mean? And it gets up there, maybe 90 seconds. Just cool, calm. really special, though. I'm really glad for Tana. Absolutely deserves it. I hope this is a receiver run, because I think Ricky Sanders has got to get up in that ring of fame, and maybe they can do that one next year. Is it right that it's going to be week one when they?
Yeah, it's the first game.
That's going to be so cool. People will go nuts. And, dude, for younger guys, you know Ethan that worked with us at NBC and now is at Monumental?
Ethan, I think I know who you're talking about.
He's been out here. You know, you recognize him. Yesterday we recorded the podcast, and I was like, you know, Ethan, what's it mean for you to see Tana go in? And he's like, if you're 25, 27,
yeah,
Santana's, there aren't not a lot of bright spots for these younger fans, and Tana's absolutely one of them.
Yeah.
Because even as much as these young guys love Sean Taylor, that ended so tragically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think it's well-deserved, well done by the team. I couldn't be happier for Santana to get that honor, man.
Totally, man. Totally.
Just such a good dude. Tana's going to join us in a few minutes. Landy, I did want to ask you. You've always said Tana's your favorite player. What was your reaction when you saw he was going in the Ring of Fame?
It's about time. I was actually kind of surprised he wasn't there already. He should have been.
Yeah. There was a period of time where just not a lot got done, frankly.
Yeah.
And I think that period of time is over. And I think that's, you know, really good for the team and for the organization. And it's funny when – so Tana, I saw, did a SportsCenter hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, ESPN posted a clip, and they're like, ask about Terry. And he's like, respectfully
– pay the man.
Pay the man.
Yeah. I'll tell you that. I say, Tana, I say, so you went in the Ring of Fame, and it's 148,000 different, you know, whatever. I say, but just – right now, I think the respectfully paid a man is about 300,000 right now.
Oh, views or whatever?
He said, oh, what? I said, nah. I said, I listened to you. You didn't say anything that was wrong. You know, you talked about the guy. You talked about how good he is for this team. And you just said that. I said, but you know they were going to just take that one part. And that's all they put out. But if you listen to it, you can see that you were respectful in what you said. You didn't try to knock nobody or whatever.
Sure.
So, and Ryan was right there with us last night. He was like, yeah, man, it's cool. He's like, but guess what? Command Center got announced on everything yesterday.
Right.
We're trending.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Right? Like, the hell with all that. We're trending, homie. That's what happened.
Just really happy for Tana. And I think it's just – it's crazy to watch Santana Moss going in the Ring of Fame, because I think by far the most loved receiver until Terry. You know what I mean? And now you see Terry kind of going through this stuff and – and how it's all unfolding.
You know, you've talked to Tana sometimes about when he was here and how Shanahan, how he tried to handle him and talk to him. Like, it kind of like a little spat about money for a little bit at that point.
Sure.
So he understands exactly what he's going through.
Yep.
He talked about his time up there in New York. So all those things happen, you know. And hell, you look back to Art Monk. And those three guys are very similar, where they perform – and didn't say a damn thing. They just performed. I think that right there is they have a connect. You know what I mean?
Totally. It is a really interesting time for the Burgundy and Gold and for fans, because it's like, yo, Bobby Engram, the receivers coach, was walking down to the field today, and some fan yells over, "Hey, Bobby, pay Terry. And he's like, what, out of my pocket? And it was just a funny response. But I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, now they were playing at Camden Yards at that point. But I don't remember the specifics. But I remember going to an Orioles game, and everybody, they were, you know, in Baltimore, they're always selling the T-shirts and the hot dogs and stuff mm-hmm. outside. And everybody was buying these Pay Cal T-shirts. And I guess Cal Ripken was going into the last year of his contract, whatever was going on, right? But the fan base was so overwhelmingly supportive of Cal, of keeping him there. And I was thinking about this morning. I don't think I have seen a similar situation where the fan base is as locked in support of the player until this Terry situation. Can you think of one?
No, I can't. And I've seen – so a guy told me, man, sign a petition. I'm like, what petition? He said, get Terry signed. I'm like, what you talking about? His shirt.
His shirt was a petition.
That was funny as hell to me.
Well, dude, it's one of those things. I mean, hell, somebody listening will probably do this now. If you could set up these online petitions, put them out on social media, uh-huh. they'll get 100,000 people to sign that thing.
That is totally cray-cray.
I mean, you know what happened. Whatever. We're going to just assume. So I had a theory. I can tell you my theory when we return. What we do need to do, though, is as people are coming and going, Ring of Fame going up, Terry maybe getting a new deal, as your life advances, sometimes you got to move. And if you got to move, you got to buy or sell a home. Nobody better to do it with than John Leahy.
Just like this recent seller, they were thrilled to receive an offer for $20,000 over the asking price. You know, John went out there and made everything smooth. There was no stress, no setbacks, and the sale closed quicker than they thought it could. Listen, if you want the same type of treatment, go to John Leahy and get that guaranteed offer right there on his website. They'll go to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if you need it, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
And that's just part of what John can do for you. But the biggest part, moving is stressful. The market has shifted. Buyers have the advantage right now. You need an expert that can help you manage the stress. Whatever's going on, say you got a promotion, say you got fired, whatever it is you need to move for, it's a stressful time, and John Leahy and the Fine Living Group can get you through that with the least amount of stress possible. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. You got to hear the drums. A little AC/DC get you moving, B. You know what else will get you moving? So it's been raining and storming in the D.C. area, and we're in a tent in a field in Ashburn, Virginia, training camp. And so the water all pooled up in the corner of the tent, and our esteemed engineering staff of Chris Kerwin, Derek Chesson, and Greg Abernathy correctly said, hey, we got to move this water, otherwise at some point it's going to come in here, and we got a ton of radio, computers,
equipment.
There's a lot of television equipment in here. We can't just have this deluge of water.
I thought was going to happen.
And the water all ended up coming right where my chair is.
Well, and it went on Greg.
Yeah, Greg is
when I saw him pushing it, I'm like, okay, it's going to go where he's standing.
How the hell did it get over here?
I don't know.
Landfill, you will be unhappy to know, but I can happily report I did not get soaked. My dumb ass for once actually thought, hey, you know, I might stand up and just kind of see how this all shakes out rather than stay in this chair.
But guess who got soaked?
Greg is soaked. But just go stand outside. You'll dry out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, if there's a bunch of water that's going to completely ruin somebody's day, it should be JP.
You know the ride at King's Dominion where you get in that big-ass boat? It's like four rows of people.
Yeah.
And you go down that big hill.
The big, like, log?
Yeah. Yeah. Not the little log, the big joint.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like Greg just rode that.
Yeah. But I'm looking at him, and when he was doing it, I'm like, does he not know that's going to come that way?
I think we've known Greg Abernathy a long time. I think he took one for the team. I think he knew it was coming and just kind of.
Oh, he didn't take a bath last night. He figured he'll get one in right now.
Listen, man, after these days, we could all use a shower, man. I did want to play this Santana Moss talking about Terry McLaurin audio. We mentioned it a minute ago. I believe, Landy, this is from SportsCenter, correct? When Tana went on SportsCenter?
Yeah.
Santana Moss talking about the McLaurin situation.
How absolutely critical is he for this team, in your estimation?
Respectfully, just pay him. I just want to see him here, man. It's nothing like seeing 1-7 out there. I think, you know, you're talking about me getting him to the Raptors, man. By the time he's left, he leaves here, he'll be in those Raptors with us. And it's just one of those things. This guy came in, you know, not highly sought out, third-round pick. They talked about how good he was because his team mostly. And from day one, he's showing us, man, that he's going to go out there and make sure he get the job done. So he has that same kind of, I guess you could say, you know, he has a little bit of 89 in him when it comes to just how he goes about his business. And I love that about him. Always humble. He's always going to go out there and give it his all. And he's a hard worker. And so, to me, that's a testament to anybody who plays this game, mm-hmm. that should give anybody who has that bag, hey, they want to share it with him. You know, so when it comes to ownership, I understand it's deeper than just, you know, paying somebody, but I know that these guys think the world of Terry like I do.
It that's what makes this so tricky. Yeah. Is, well, dude, and let's set the scene here. Terry's agent is here.
Yeah,
Adam Peters is here. Like, clearly the no communication days are over.
Those
like,
days are over, yeah.
They're within 15 yards of one another.
Yep.
So they're at least speaking on some level.
Yep.
But they're also clearly not making a ton of progress.
It may not be making a ton of progress. I think what happens in this thing where we might not hear the incremental moves, it just happens when there's something this big. And this group, from the post I saw the other day when they showed the new locker room, okay, they've been doing a lot of work at the stadium, so I can imagine a locker room at the stadium now for the guys. These people have been doing a lot of stuff. But I think this is one where it's like, okay, and the age thing pops up. But I think the age thing pops up when you got two people on defense that's older than him,
right,
that they really put, they kind of put on the pedestal.
Right.
The ultimate thing is they are trying to figure it out. And I think sometimes, you know, players, we get to that point where when we have to deal with the side of business that other guys have dealt with, but we never been through it, we don't really understand until we have to really go through it. And, yes, Terry signed a deal a couple of years ago, but it ain't like this. You know what I'm saying? So now they need to – they are trying to make sure they can figure out the now and later. And that's where the difficulty comes in. And I think the agent has to come out there and work for the player.
Sure.
But I hope the agent gives him all of the proper information instead of letting information to instigate.
Sure.
You know, that can happen as well.
Sure. You know, the other part of this that I think is relevant is when Terry got the last extension, the organization was an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And if we know one thing that the previous administration and previous ownership liked to do was
do things to get all the negative stuff out the press.
Yeah, dude. And so when Terry, not that he didn't earn the last deal, he absolutely did, but he was able to, I think the organization was very quick, and it's my understanding Snyder was like, yo, get this done now, and they got it done.
Yeah.
And you don't want Harris to do that. You don't want AP to have to operate in that fashion. Clearly, the organization's in a much different place now. So, I just think it's a really complex thing.
It is.
Because you mentioned the age. You mentioned the money. He is under contract this year. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, like,
you got all that. But, like, the thing about it, you cannot deny that he has been – he's been everything you expected and way more.
Totally.
And I think that's what you look at. And I know people try to – say what he is, top this, top that. All I say is put his numbers up against everybody and you'll see where he falls. And I think the possibility of what we talked about, that three starting off with a three, he's there.
Well, dude, even beyond the, like, where he ranks around the league, right? Like, a lot of that is kind of subjective, just content plays, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, to me, one thing we've said repeatedly with Jaden, I think four quarterbacks have separated themselves in the NFL. Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, right? Those dudes are in their own category. You can rank them however you'd like. I'm not really big in the ranking business. But those guys have separated. And to me, Jaden's next. Jaden's in the next tier. And could he, you know, get into the higher one this year? Hell yeah, he could. In among receivers in the NFL, I think Chase and Jefferson have separated from the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, whatever that next tier is, maybe you want to put CD in there. He just gets so many targets. Like, whatever the next tier is with Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown, like, to me, McLaurin is in that tier. And eventually, it's just what the market is. The market to me is 30. Now, maybe does this thing land at 29 and they flip some guarantees this year to make it more advantageous? Like, maybe. I think the market is the market, and eventually you just got to get this darn thing done.
Yeah.
We are working to track down Mr. Santana Moss. He's got his own responsibilities, programming, everything else. Tana's going to join us. Ben Standing's going to join us at noon. Nobody go anywhere.